Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Yeah, no, good. Yeah, no, no, no. Okay, bye.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
You might be able to hear the chainsaws going off in the background.
Occasionally we have that kind of ambiance on this show.
Pete's kids are here, so I don't know if they're going to make noise.
But Lita and Marlo started school.
Lita and Marlo started school yesterday, so that would be Monday. And his daughter starts school tomorrow, which would be Wednesday. And we're not exactly sure when his son is going back to school. They're still figuring that out. But yeah, it started. We got it all done, mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you had to one way or the other come Monday, so.
And you've been homeschooling?
Oh, yeah. It's weird because I feel like I am much more prepared this year, which was the goal and the hope. But the schedule just feels more rigorous.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think it's partially just because I have it blocked in a more rigorous way, but he's still doing partial enrollment at the public school, and his classes are the first 3 hours of the day, which means we have to leave the house at 7.
Oh, wow.
Right, which is early. It's nice to have a block of time in the morning to work, but because of work and homeschool and just general life stuff, that means I have to run before I bring him. And that's just early. It's been early.
Yeah. That's early to leave. I mean, I say that as a person who used to leave the house at 5:45, or actually 5:30, to go to early morning seminary and be there at 5:45.
That sounds really fun. I'm at least running, so it keeps me awake. That would not do it for me.
No. And I texted you because we were talking about ideas for the podcast to keep it up and running, and yes, hoping that more listeners would be willing to chip in a couple of bucks a month to cover the costs.
Over on Patreon, that's what you're talking about, right?
Patreon, yes.
Yes.
Patreon.com/manicramblings. And helping us do that, we run into some costs and... Yeah, it's a thing that we're staring at, I think.
It is. And especially, you know, we mentioned, I think we first kind of brought up this idea of revamping MRS, I don't know, like right around the time school ended last year, because it mm-hmm. was before you went to Paris. And one of the things that we were talking about was guests as well.
Yes.
Which is great, and we would love to do that, but that complicates the editing side of things, mm-hmm. because it's an additional voice and an additional track. So that's just an added thing. And we both genuinely love doing this. It's just, there's some logistics.
There are some logistics. Yeah. Planning and scheduling and making sure that all of it is put together well. God damn those chainsaws. Sorry about that. Jesus Christ. That is an amount of
I can't hear them, so.
Yeah, so I think I texted you and told you that despite like some unforeseen, you know, complications in my life, I'm still, you know, sort of like, you know, it'll get done. It'll get done. Everything will get done. You know, I think that we'll figure out a way to keep us up and running. And again, it would, if a few more of you could chip in a couple dollars a month, I'm not above groveling. So
teamwork makes the dream work, guys.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right. Teamwork makes the dream work. Yeah. I'd have to say, though, like your text, I mean, this is, I'm going to over dramatize it, but to prove the point, it was kind of like the world is ending, but it's cool. Like the tone was just super, it was super chill. Like, yeah, everything's falling apart, but it's okay.
It's okay.
Which is, I mean, minus the everything falling apart portion, is a good thing.
My car insurance got canceled.
Are you uninsurable? Is it your foot?
No, I thought I had crossed that off my list before I left for Paris, but apparently I didn't pay the bill for July, but I did pay the bill for August, not knowing that the bill for July had not been paid, and they sent me a couple of cancellation notices in the mail, of course, that I did not get in Paris, and then I came home and was driving an uninsured car.
Oh, yeah.
And I called several times. I called my agent several times, and she never picked up. And it was kind of a bit of an ordeal, but whatever, you know. And then yesterday, I was about 2 minutes away from going to the emergency room.
For yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sick, and I'm really, really, really sick, and I've got to figure out what's wrong, but I don't want to pay a $600 copay at the ER.
You could probably buy a $500 round trip ticket to Paris and go see a doctor. A day trip.
And I'm trying to piece together exactly, because I have a really, really bad pain in my stomach, and it didn't happen in Europe. And then all of a sudden yesterday I woke up and I had a pain and it never ceased. And it only got worse as the day went on. And then by last night I was just like on the floor, sort of trying not to scream, just like 2 seconds away from going to the ER because I didn't know what to do. So
I have had, this is going to sound weird, but I've had conversations with people about this. I think food in Europe is in a lot of ways better than food here. And I don't mean like you can order better things, but I think so much of what we consume here is produced in such large quantities.
Okay, so that's exactly, so Pete actually took care of me and he went and got me some probiotic stuff and a water bottle and a heating pad and some tea, and he was Googling it.
Was it poop tea?
It was not poop tea.
It was not poop tea.
Damn. No, but it was a Japanese sort of like digestive, like settle your stomach tea.
Okay.
It did not work. I've tried every sort of, I tried seaweed, I tried, you know, yogurt, I tried all sorts of things and nothing helped. But he Googled that. And that's exactly what someone like at the top of the, like the Google, people were like, yeah, well in Europe, you know, they don't have all these nasty chemicals or GMOs in the food. And then I came here, I come home, and all of a sudden, like, every day, it was building up to yesterday when it just sort of, like, knocked me over. That's exactly right. That's so weird that you would say that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to it. And I'm not, like, criticizing the food that we have or anybody's diet or anything. I think it's gotten to the point where even things that we just assume are pretty basic or have basic ingredients don't anymore. Like there's always added this or added that. And even if it's not stuff that's bad for you, if it's stuff that you haven't been consuming for, you know, 5 weeks, mm-hmm. that's a huge change.
Yeah. Like I've had these episodes before. I had them frequently in February before and even after my colonoscopy. And the colonoscopy was trying to figure this out. And then I had a couple more episodes. I had nothing in Europe. Like I didn't experience any symptoms whatsoever while I was over there. None. And then I get home and all of a sudden my body is just like contorting.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe it's the stress, but I'm not like, you know, I've let go. You know, Marlo has a whole bunch of stuff I have to fill out, and it was due last Friday and I didn't do it.
But that could be, I mean, I guess that could also be a component of it. Like maybe you have let go, but there's still sort of these fight or flight responses just internally that are getting set off.
Yes.
I mean, I think it takes your body a while to catch up with your mind sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's no good. And I mean, even if you know what the cause is, being that miserable is awful.
It was ultimately the $600 copay. He called the Instacare, and Instacare was like, yeah, we would send her to the ER. If you've tried all this and this and this and this, then we would send her straight to the ER is what they would do. And I was like, I don't want to pay a $600 copay. But, I mean, I'll tell this really quickly. Lita got her driver's permit, her learner permit.
Oh, yeah. I saw your Instagram story about that with Marlo's commentary. Oh, my God. That kid is awesome.
I need to post that video. I'll do that after we finish here. She wanted to get it. And the only time that we could go do it was last Friday, because that was like she's in school all day and they close and you have to stand in line. And so we get up on Friday morning and you have to have all of this documentation, birth certificates and social security cards and proof of address and all this sort of thing. And she has to have her name on the proof of address. So she had to go with John when he was here during my book tour, and he set up a banking account for her so that it would be sent to the home, and then her transcript from school is sent to the home. So however, it was missing.
the transcript,
all of it.
Oh god,
all of it.
Oh, there you go.
Was gone. Like I've been gone for 6 weeks at that point, and the two different people stayed to watch Coco in the house, and mail got put somewhere and I didn't know where it was. I don't think that she would be upset with me sharing this, but Lita was already emotional. She did not want to leave camp.
Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah. And she came home and it sort of like sunk in that camp is over and she has to start 10th grade and she has to study and do homework. And she was very, very emotional last week. And
camp is very over because she can't go back because of her age, right?
Right. She can be a counselor. She just, if she applies and they accept her and hire her. So when she realized that I couldn't find the documentation, the blast shattered, you know, china and flower vases and... And I remained calm. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go into mom mode, master mom mode. And I went online and I found several things. And then I searched the home like 17 times and found it underneath a pile of things in the corner of the dining room somewhere. Anyway, we get there, fill out the application, stand in line. And she's terrified because everybody that we know has failed that test like 3 or 4 times at least.
Oh my God, has it gotten harder?
Yeah, like...
Holy shit.
They ask you questions, I guess the Utah one has gotten harder. They ask you questions about like, you know, how much can a truck weigh on a certain kind of bridge? You know, like stuff
what?
That you... Yeah, yeah.
Stuff that you don't really need to know unless you get that kind of license?
Yeah.
Wow.
So she was just like, well, we're going to be here all day because I'm going to fail it. And, you know, you can only fail it twice and then we're going to have to come back. And I said, you know what? Just look at, like, you don't know. I said, you don't know. Just go in and take the test. You know, we have no idea. We don't have to assume that it's bad. So we got her registered. She passed the eye test. And then I go down and sit next to Marlo. And not 7 minutes later, she comes walking past and she's like, guess who got her driver's permit?
Oh my God.
And she just keeps walking, and Marlo and I look at each other like, what? And I was like, did you really? And she's like, I passed on the first try. And I was like, oh, see, this is good. Like, I kept it calm. I kept it positive. And then we got into the car.
Oh, man.
And did you grow up driving go-karts?
No. I think I had driven them like one time. I mean, but not anything.
Is it a Southern? Because she said this to me. I'm not Southern. I didn't drive go-karts. I'm not Southern.
Is it a Southern thing? I mean, that's a good question. Where I grew up, we had only one place where you could drive go-karts. But where I live now, there's, I don't know, a half a dozen within half an hour of me, at least, probably.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if it was, I don't imagine it was a Southern thing.
I mean, I've ridden them in Washington State, but we grew up going to putt-putt golf and riding the go-karts every weekend. Oh, fuck
yeah, putt-putt golf. That I did. That is where the go-karts were, but I was into the golf and the bumper boats. They had the bumper boats, too.
You were into the golf. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't golf to save my life, but mini golf, that's a different story.
I hated that shit.
Oh, God, I loved it.
Oh,
what, is it because you were competitive?
I just didn't, there was no fun in it. Like, you're just trying to get this tiny little ball into a tiny little hole and again and again and again and again. It was just like, ugh. No, get me a car. I want to drive a car. I want to beat everybody on the go-kart.
Oh, God. So it was the competitiveness, too.
Yeah, but I grew up, you know, having a feel for, you know, the steering wheel, and we'd get in the car, and I asked her if she wanted to drive around the parking lot, because it was huge, and she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, and Marla goes, I want no part of this.
Oh, God.
I'm getting out of the car. I want no part of this. I'm like, Marla, it's going to be okay, you know, and she gets in, and she puts her left foot on the brake.
I said,
Lita, you use one foot. You use your right foot for all of it. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, you use your right foot. So she didn't even know that part. And she didn't know how to steer the car. She didn't know what she was doing. She had no feel for it whatsoever. She was headed straight for a curb and just thought the car, I guess, would turn itself.
That was the video. Like, uh-huh. Do you know how to turn? And then Marlo in the backseat.
She doesn't. She clearly doesn't. Oh, she God. Doesn't. So my mom, I showed my mom the video. My mom wrote back. She goes, your stepfather and I have watched this approximately 30 times. And now all day long, we've been saying, she doesn't. She clearly doesn't.
Oh, man.
She headed straight for a curb. And I was like, you got to turn. This is a different video or a different point. And she's just like, what? I was like, you have to turn the car. Oh, like she didn't, it didn't. Yeah.
That is so, it's funny to me because the amount of time that you spend in the car, uh-huh. Like I would think that she'd pick up on some, I totally get the, like try to use 2 feet. I understand that as an initial instinct if you've never really been behind the wheel, but that's funny. But yeah. I think the video that you posted, like, Even as Marlo is making that comment, this look of, I don't know, shock and awe on Lita's face is worth every second because, like, she just can't understand what she's doing, why she's doing it, what's happening, where she's going.
Yeah,
and it's amazing.
It was the best look. She's like, I can't believe she said that, and then I don't know what I'm doing. What do you mean? I don't know, and so. My stepfather, who taught me and my brother and my sister how to drive, is taking her on Saturday to to do like 3 hours of like, here's what we're going to do.
Oh, very nice.
On Saturday, we went to Office Max to get her some school supplies. And Pete's like, why don't you drive around the Office Max parking lot? And I was like, Pete, and I just looked at him and I said, and he was like, yes, we're going to do this. And Lita was like, and Pete's like, we're going to do this. And so Lita got, I said, I want to sit in the back seat. So Pete's in the front seat of the car and Lita is driving. And I was like, It's like, Pete, breathe, okay? Just remember to breathe. And he witnessed firsthand the fact that she doesn't know that she's supposed to turn the wheel. Like, it's this...
Oh, man.
And she headed straight for a car that had a Bernie Sanders sticker on the back.
Oh, no.
like at a very high speed, and I was involuntarily screaming from the back seat, and she was like, I'm done, can't do this. And I was like, yeah, I think we're done.
Oh man, that's so great.
So there's a lot to look forward to in that.
I mean, I think I know that Lexton will do a little bit better because he rides a dirt bike, so he's used to just the general idea of turning. He's used to shifting, which is different on a motorcycle, but the concept of it. But what was weird, and this, it's been 6 months, I took him to like a big empty parking lot and had him drive my car. Just, he doesn't have his permit, but I'm just like, just get the feel for it in the parking lot. And he actually did really well. He kind of did, he turned, he did a loop, like parked it back in a space and put it in neutral and put the brake on. He's like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm done. I'm like, no, you were fine. What is the issue? He's like, I don't know. I don't like it.
I'm like, okay, he didn't like it.
I think it's just the magnitude of what it is. Like in this, well, for one, it's way bigger than a motorcycle.
Another, I was going to say that.
It's
my
car. So I think he's worried about damaging it.
Right.
And it's a stick. So I think he's also worried about those inevitable stallings.
Wait a minute. Which,
you know.
He was driving a stick?
Yeah, it was my car. I mean, I drive a stick, so he's driving that.
That is hard to learn on. That's what I learned on.
Yeah, and that's what I told him. I'm like, if you can learn how to drive a stick, then you can drive anything. It's easier to go from a manual to an automatic. And I think he likes that idea. He does want to know how to do it, and he did really well. But, you know, when you stall in a manual car, it's violent. Like the car lunges and jerks and clunks and you feel like you've just destroyed it.
Yeah. It's like you've killed an animal.
Yes. And I think that's his major fear. Like he's going to do that. It's going to break the car and it'll be all his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I get it, but got to figure it out.
Yeah. I would say like he probably is used to like sort of the confinement of the dirt bike. Whereas your car is like this... It's like you're driving a cruise ship, right?
Exactly.
Comparatively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that will be his major incentive because I'm reasonably sure you can't get a motorcycle license without a driver's license.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And we also have weather that is not suitable for motorcycles, like at least 6 months of the year. So It's just not really feasible. And they terrify me. I don't like motorcycles.
Well, do you guys have a helmet law?
Illinois, I think, does not, actually.
Neither does Utah.
But it is my law.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're going to ride, you're going to wear a helmet. And as soon as I see you not wearing your helmet, you are done forever. Unfortunately, he does, so...
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, that would... And it's interesting because... Heather's dad rides, which is sort of what sparked the interest in Lexton, and he didn't used to wear a helmet. And then Lexton got hit. He got him this little dirt bike, and we had the conversation with him. We're like, you know, you need to be wearing one because he's not going to not wear one.
Right.
So you have to start. Cause I was not that I can't do that. It's just asking for trouble.
Yeah. I've seen too many, I know too many people who have, you know, had accidents on bikes. I don't think I know a single person who rides bikes who hasn't had a really bad accident.
There's just so much that can go wrong.
Yeah.
And there is in a car too, but you're not exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even cyclists here, really, you know, hardcore cyclists wear helmets on the, you know, it's just the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I mean, Lita, I think she'll learn, but she's very different from her peers and from a lot of people her age. She really wants this. She wants the freedom of it and has been very hardcore about getting it done. And so, I mean, I could have a lot of freedom come February.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. How does that work in Utah? So she just got her permit. So how would that progress?
She can get it 6 months from the day that she got her permit. So she'd have to wait she'd have to wait like a couple weeks after her birthday to get it. But she said she didn't mind.
Okay. But do you guys have like an hour requirement or?
Yes. She has to take driver's ed, which she is taking. And then she has to drive a certain, and they do it in driver's ed. They drive a certain amount, at school. And I guess, I don't know, cause I didn't grow up here. I joked about this, but when I got my driver's license, I showed up and the test was basically like 2 + 2 = 4. Okay. Go drive around the block, the square block. Here's your license. Here's a gun. It was so fucking easy.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You didn't have to take driver's ed in Memphis.
I mean, I definitely took driver's ed. But I remember the hardest, like the worst thing about it is I took it in the summer. And it was, the worst thing about it is that it was so easy, but you still had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like the basics of stopping. And if there's a pedestrian who has the right of way, like just the really basics.
Yeah.
And we had really no interstates where I grew up. So the driving was just on residential streets. So it was kind of like this necessary thing that you hated to do because it just seemed like a waste of time.
Yeah. Maybe everybody should just go to Tennessee.
That's it. Drive some go-karts, get a license.
I can't believe she said that to me. I'm not Southern.
That's so awesome. That's what she attaches it to.
She associates it with my hickness is what she associates
with. Oh, man.
Yeah, so we're back in the full swing of things, and I'm okay. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's... I mean, yeah, I'm okay. It's still, I think the change just hasn't fully set in,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Well, there's two things. I'm a morning person anyway. I'm now up at 4:30 so that I have time to run.
Oh my God.
Which is early even for me, and it's pitch black out. So that's an adventure in itself. But this sounds terrible. It's probably terrible. The school year always means that I am in much more routine communication with Heather.
Oh, yes.
And like longer conversations, deeper conversations. And I think some of them are necessary, maybe like half. And I think just knowing that that is the reality for the next 8 months or 9 months or however long it is kind of weighing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that our relationship is bad, not that it's like difficult to have a conversation with her. It's just kind of draining.
Because you do it for your son, but it's not necessarily somebody that you want to talk to.
No, I mean, we've talked about this before. It's like, If it weren't for children, we would really not have communication at all.
Right.
Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
And that's not even me saying like she's a terrible, horrible person and I wish bad things. There's no reason to communicate beyond that.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not going to... I'm very careful when I talk to other parents who have split now, because I don't... John and I crossed over some rainbow bridge this year.
It has been very good, which is amazing.
It's been amazing. And we communicate all the time. We laugh. We share the funny stories about the kids. Marlo was really emotional the day before school started because she was tired and she'd had like 4 sleepovers straight in a row. I texted him and said, you know, she had just spoken to him and she missed him. And I texted him and he and I had a text conversation for like 30 minutes about everything. And I was like, you know what we're going to do? I'll let you FaceTime her as we walk to school tomorrow morning and we'll take pictures and we'll send them to you. And like, it was just lovely.
Right. But I mean, and that's, so that's the hard thing though. Like that's basically my relationship with Heather as well. I mean, the conversations are fine. The texting is fine. You know, it is on a very friendly level, but I think ultimately what it comes down to is if it weren't for Lexton, I wouldn't be having those conversations.
Right.
And we could both be totally fine, normal people. I just know that I wouldn't have the conversations.
But now you're forced to.
Right. Like it's necessary because it's what's best for Lexton.
Right.
But I think it's also draining in part because we obviously don't live together anymore. So we're on different schedules and we're doing things at different times. And it forces me to be on her schedule.
Oh, I see.
In some ways. And it also sometimes creates like duplicate effort because he'll get out of his classes at the public school and we'll do the homeschool thing and we'll talk about it. Everything's done. Then she gets out of work and it's like all the same things revisited, which would probably happen anyway if we were still together and she got home from work. But I think it would feel different not having to have this phone call to do it. It's like a meeting. It feels like an after hours meeting.
So do you talk to her every day?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Well, every day, I'd say 6 days a week, because not always both weekend days. But inevitably one of them, like Sunday before the week starts is usually what it will be.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
So it's great to have her that involved and on the same page and wanting to know. But it's also hard because Lexton is 15. So, you know, a conversation with him about school is basically just good. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Good. And that's it. And I feel like we've talked about this, but I know how to pull out the information.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not as well versed at it. And I think he's also a little more hesitant to offer it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll try to have her talk to him and it goes nowhere. Because that would help if he was actually able to really share that information. And I hear him on the phone and that's exactly what it is. Yeah, no, good. Yeah, no, no, no. Okay, bye. Oh my God. Oh, and then and within 30 seconds, I get a call.
Oh God. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird, like that's one thing that's nice about summer break. And we still communicate regularly over the summer, but it's not as task oriented because there's no school. So there's not really any,
it's not as regimented
subject matter.
Yeah. That would be a lot. That's a lot. That's another like task for your day. Like, woo-hoo. It's like a board meeting.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah. It ends up feeling that way. I mean, I am like you, like very fortunate that the situation is as good as it is. I know there are people that can't speak,
mm-hmm.
or there's just a lot of animosity, and I'm glad that it's not like that. It's just still a thing.
Still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I again, I try to be sort of tread lightly when I talk about this with other couples who've split or with like friends who split, because I know a lot of people who have a lot of animosity toward their ex, and I know that both John and I did toward each other, and we just sort of, something happened earlier this year and he and I just sort of let it all go. I hate to use this word, bleh, but what a blessing it's been, just in a turn. Like, I know.
This is the last word I expected.
I hung out with my mom yesterday because we were doing some stuff in Marlo's room, and it sort of rubs off on me. But, like, when I see his name, it's no longer, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. It's usually just like, hey, can I talk to girls, and how's it going? And so I just have to say that, like, there's hope for, you know, for it not being terrible all the time. Possibly.
Yes. And it might take some years.
Yeah.
It can. I still have those moments, and it's not so much like that I dread the conversation, but it's like if he's spending time with her over the weekend and she calls me, that's the reaction I have, because it usually means there's something that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And not like a bad thing, but some sort of argument about school, like a thing. And I'm going to be honest and just say I don't answer them anymore. I find that it's more productive to not, because they resolve themselves anyway,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's petty or terrible, but there's
it's not though, because, I mean, even, it's not because... There are times when they're with him and I'm just like, I don't have to deal with that stuff. It's not my turn. It's his turn, right? It's his turn to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. Like,
and that's not being petty. It's just like, no, they're with you. It's your turn. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Because when they're with us, we figure it out, right? We just figure it out. And,
right. I would never call or text unless it was some sort of serious emergency. I just mm-hmm. figure it out, and then hopefully the decision is good and we're fine.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe that's what it comes down to. And I know we've talked about this, like there is some element of needing to be on the same page
mm-hmm.
with certain things, but then there's other things where we're both just going to make our own decisions, and maybe sometimes they're not the same, but that's how it goes when they're not like really big, important decisions. It's really not a big deal.
I know. You know, his kids are screaming downstairs.
Are there still chainsaws? Did they get their hands on the chainsaws?
I think the chainsaws are have stopped, but now the kids are screaming. Yeah.
One day
it's going to get back to normal.
Is his daughter, like, I mean, is it a different district?
She goes to a private school.
Ah, okay.
And my kids go to public. I posted a picture of Marlo's classroom. Back to school night was last Thursday. The teacher had these Obey Giant. I can't believe I just blanked his name. The guy who did the Obey and the Obama portrait. Harper? Ferry?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I did. Yes. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Shepherd Fairy. Prince. Shepherd. Yes. God damn it. I totally blanked. Shepherd Fairy. We have a couple huge prints hung up in our house. He did portraits of AOC and the other two women of color who are who got elected to the House. And they're hanging in Marlo's classroom. Giant posters. And I walked in and I was like, holy shit, that is fucking amazing. And I took a picture of it, and there were a few people who were pretty upset about it.
Like vocally upset?
They commented, it was an Instagram story, and they commented that this should not be allowed in public schools, that to politicize anything or to bring in a certain party over another is, you know, that's propaganda. And I just sort of laughed at that, because underneath what they didn't see underneath those posters was this whole beautiful plaque about migrants and immigration. And I don't know, it just made me so excited. I was like, this is fucking A. This is Utah. This is fucking A, man.
And what classroom was it in?
It was in Marlowe's classroom. Oh, the fifth grade so classroom.
It's just the all-encompassing classroom.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's amazing.
It was amazing. My jaw hit the floor. And so her teacher encourages them all to bring yoga balls to sit on as their chairs.
That is so great.
Yeah. So
there are chairs, but the teacher will let them swap them out.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty awesome.
She's pretty awesome. It's a great school. So
interesting. Lexton had a fifth grade teacher who refused to use any of the classroom lights, like the ceiling lights, because they're fluorescent. And she had a bunch of studies about like the color from the light and the buzzing and what it can do. So she brought in, she had like table lamps and floor lamps, and it was set up like little clusters of office desks with desk lamps, and the kids loved it.
Oh, I bet they did. Oh, that's lovely.
It was such a welcoming, warm environment versus just these big fluorescent banks, you know?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. It's little things like that that can make, and massive posters that can make a huge difference.
I know. Among the various things that sort of went haywire over the last week, the first day of school, mind you, my foot is still very, 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 very fucked up. So fucked up. And I know I'm supposed to put that boot back on, but that boot actually was causing a whole bunch of other problems, and I got a huge sore on my shin from it. And so I'm just taking it very, very, very easy is what I'm doing, except that I walked Marlo to school and then realized I couldn't do that again. But the first day of school, I get up a little bit early, take a shower, get Marlo up, head downstairs, start packing her lunch, and all of a sudden, rounding the corner in the kitchen is Lita. She's like, I can explain. Oh. I will tell you. And I was like, hi. And she says, okay, I know I set my alarm. I know I did. I know I set my alarm. I said, oh, are you just waking up? And she's like, I just woke up.
Oh my God.
It's 7:15. The bus picks them up at 6:48. So she's missed the bus by, you know, a good half hour. She threw on some clothes and I was like, well, let's get going. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, well, how else are you going to get there? And she's like, right. And I said, is there a reason that you didn't come knock on my door like right when you woke up? And she's like, well, I didn't want to wake you up. I was like, well, then how are you going to get to school?
Oh, man. So she was late, right?
I got her there in the nick of time. Oof. And then managed to scramble back, get dressed, and get Marlo to school. So she missed the bus on the first day, and I remained calm.
I've had several episodes where there's that confidence, like, I know I set my alarm. I definitely set my alarm. Or maybe you didn't set your alarm, or maybe you snoozed it, like, and that happens. I mean, shit happens.
Yeah.
I've had a dozen of those moments with Lexton over the last week where he's 100% sure something has taken place. I'm like, yeah, but you're wrong. So it's cool, it's okay, but let's just be wrong and move on.
Exactly. I was just like, okay, well, there's really not. I mean, if I freak out about it or I get angry, what's the point? It doesn't help anything. It doesn't help anything.
She's not going to get there any faster. Nope. It's just going to make the ride there terrible.
Exactly. I think that is sort of, again, in what the last couple of weeks being home is like, freaking out about it or getting angry or, well, let me finish that thought. Getting angry about it isn't helping. It doesn't do anything. Freaking out about it doesn't do anything. It doesn't solve the problem. Those emotions are useless. However, if Coco doesn't get out from underneath me, I might get violent toward a wall.
Oh, yeah.
That is the only time I've really sort of like lost, like I've been like, oh, like she's almost tripped me down the stairs 4 or 5 times now. And I'll turn around and she'll be just like standing right. Her face is right there. And I just like trip over her and it's calming down. I
can finally relate to those kind of stories.
Right?
Holy shit. Yeah, I everywhere I walk, I feel like I'm kicking her or falling over her or like...
I can't imagine. Like, you got a little bundle. She's just bundle.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't step on that dog.
No, but I used to feel really bad for kicking her in the face, but I realized, like, it is her. Like, she is putting her face in front of my foot.
Yes.
No matter where I move it, somehow it's there. If I come down the stairs, she is on the third step up from the bottom, pacing back and forth. So it's like trying to dodge her as I go. And then as soon as I step over, she leaps down with her paws in the air. And last time we recorded, she had the cone on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that go? So
the cone is off. She was really out of sorts for maybe, it was like, so she had it done on Monday. And I think it was like Wednesday afternoon. I'm like, I'm probably going to call the vet if she's not a little more lively on Thursday. And she turned a corner because she just started tearing around the house. She became very efficient with her cone. And we took it off.
She became very efficient with her cone.
You would watch her eat and she'd like put her face down and slide the bottom edge of the cone under the bowl.
Oh my God. So
that she could then eat without it hitting.
That's amazing.
And then we took it off Sunday and she is as insane as ever. But it was actually cute because I think she had just reached a point where she assumed that this was her life now. Like right. Now she has this feature around her head. So we took it off and she sat on the ground and looked at it and kind of nosed it a few times, trying to like put the pieces together, and then barked ferociously at it and just took off.
She's like, I guess I grew a goddamn cone around my head. Okay, yeah. Well.
Well, that's what happens. Someone gave me drugs and I woke up with a cone. But yeah, and I feel like when you're in those moments of not even like stressed out and losing it, but trying to hurry, like we're late, we have to hurry. Dogs pick up on that. So they get a little more frantic. Mm-hmm. And then she's just weaving all around my feet.
Yep.
But Coco is not small.
No.
I feel like the trip hazard with Coco would be considerably higher.
Yeah. Well, and what she does is she, because she's a herding dog, she gets very close to you, me, everyone. When she walks next to you, she's putting her body against you. Like she is right up against you because she uses her body to herd. So when I'm walking down the stairs, she's touching me. And sometimes she'll get a little ahead of me and then get half of her body in front of me.
Oh, God.
And then she'll like move quick and then stop. And it's just, I've got to be really, 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 really vigilant because there are so many steps in this house and she just follows me around. Yeah.
But that's how she would kind of like theoretically direct you, like pushing, mm-hmm. like steering you.
Yeah. I think, she may sense something. I mean, my gait is weird because of my foot and she may sense something is weird. And so she's trying to take care of me. Like that's what herding dogs do. So she's been around me quite a bit and I have to be very, very careful about it. I'm mostly remaining calm about it.
I mean, it's very sweet, but that does sound like one of those things where it's very sweet for 2 weeks until you put a fist through the wall. I can no longer take it. I need a moment.
And Pete loves her. And he's like, she just loves you. And I'm like, she can love me in a different way because I am seriously going to punch a fucking hole in the wall. I love her, but I'm going to fall and like break a leg. Okay.
Oh yeah. And you know, in her head the whole time she's doing it, she's like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing mm-hmm. the right thing. This is good. I'm right here.
Yeah.
And you're trying to not explode.
Yeah. So it's fine.
Well, she missed the bus on the first day, but that was Monday, so she didn't miss it this morning.
She did not miss it this morning, but yeah, today's Tuesday, I guess.
Missing the bus was kind of a theme, at least on the return trip last year, right?
It was, but she handled it very well, and so did I, and we've got her all set up for school. We got to figure out her dance situation. I'm just gonna, you know, one day at a time. One day at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just how it's got to be.
And then I have a deadline tomorrow, and I turned on my computer this morning, and Pete had, he rode his bike to work, and I turned on my computer right after he left, and my hard drive was completely broken.
Ooh.
Yeah. I can't
like
work
blue
with
screen
that.
Broken?
Like, I have a hard drive that stores all of like my photos and invoices and business stuff, and I need that in particular to meet this deadline, and it was dead.
Oh God.
So he rode his bike back to the house.
Did he fix it? Like, you didn't lose everything, right?
He did. He's smart enough to know to back that up in a server at the other side of the house. So yeah. But there was a moment there where I was like, I'm remaining calm. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it.
Oh yeah. Well, there's that. I don't remember the saying, probably because I've done the jerk off motion every time I've read it, but it's like you can't control what's happening, but you can control your reaction to it or your response. I don't remember exactly what it is, but there is truth to that. I mean, you could have like screamed and panicked, but the hard drive would not have started working.
Mm-mm.
You know, Lita wouldn't have magically woken up on time if you had, mm-mm, you know, panicked about it.
Me going, seriously? Or like getting angry at her is not going to help her day. She's not going to have a good day starting out that way. And I even said to her, next time this happens, because it will happen again, come wake me up. I do not mind you waking me up so that I can get you to school on time. I'm totally fine with that. So... And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
And that's the best possible solution. Especially, I mean, in that situation, like, you know that she's not wanting to sleep in either. Like, she's not happy about it.
No, she's not. Yeah, exactly. It's not going to help her overcome, like, the nuclear reactor in her brain.
Right. Yeah. She's doing enough panicking for both of you when she realizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but I also know they need so much sleep. I just feel bad when they wake up so early.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about this last week about how they need, like, they naturally go to sleep at, like, about 11 teenagers, and they need at least 8 hours. And so because I think it's basically being, they cut back on budgets, and they realize that they could use the same buses for elementary schools and high schools. So instead of the kids... Yeah. Like, the younger kids who don't need as much sleep as the older kids start school later than the older kids. So the older kids are getting less and less sleep, and they're getting more exhausted and more exhausted and more exhausted. So I told her, I was like, this is what has to happen. You've got to get off your phone. You got to go to bed at like 9 so that you can get at least 7.5. Okay? So we get a long talk about that.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've started doing. I say 9:30. And my talk was basically like, you can shift your bedtime around, but you're going to wake up at the same time every day.
Yeah.
So he slept in, he was only about 20 minutes, 25 minutes after his alarm. And I got home from my run and stretched, and he was still asleep, and I kind of whispered his name, and without moving or opening his eyes, he just goes, oh no. Oh no, I did it, didn't I? Like, oh my God, how are you that awake all of a sudden? And he was immediately, like, it was immediate panic. I'm like, no, it's fine. No. There's going to be time. We'll wake up. This has also been the first year I've seen him actually hurry when things have happened. Usually he just maintains the same pace. But he's kind of, he's realizing that if you move faster, it actually helps. It only took 15 and a half years, but I'll take it.
Right? Oh, God. I'll say this, like, after the whole driving situation, after even Pete witnessed it, he sent me this video yesterday off of Twitter of this guy who's fixing this metal fence. It has metal slats.
Okay.
And the top of it had come off, and he sticks his head like between the next slat and the top slat to screw in the top slat.
Oh God.
And he locks his head in the fence and he can't get out. And I texted him back and I said, how did you find this video of Lita online? I don't know. She's completely like the most brilliant kid, but she does have that tiny little bit of Armstrong airheadedness. I call it absent-minded professor. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is locked in 100%. Mm-hmm. And you can't quite put those things together. You're like, how are you so brilliant? And yet, here we are.
Yeah. You have to turn the wheel. The car doesn't steer itself.
It's great, though, that she repeated that with Pete. Because I thought the story was going to go that, like, you all went out and Pete was there and she drove the car and it was fine. And he's like, what? This is great. But he truly realized, like, this is not okay. No one is safe.
No, when we got out of the car in the parking lot, he looked at me and his eyes got huge.
Oh, man.
And I was like, you know what? This is actually fun. This is a fun thing. This is so much fun.
I can't believe experience. We're even here.
I know, right?
They were like 12, right, when we started this.
Yeah. Ooh, they're little babies. Mm-hmm. Man. Okay. Yeah, here we are.
Here we are. This one was pretty cohesive, though, I think.
It was pretty cohesive, yeah. We still maintained, like, the sort of theme from last week about remaining calm and moving forward, and yeah. See, hopefully you don't get a text from me from the ER later today, but we'll see.
Yeah, let's not do that.
No.
That'd be bad news. But if any of you have anything to add, or maybe some driving stories that are, well, maybe not terrible, but just let's go with funny. We would love to hear them. You can email us, as always, to stories@manicramblings.com. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @ManicRamblings. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/ManicRamblings to support the show and help us keep this thing up and running. We definitely appreciate it. And a huge thank you to those of you who have already become patrons. We appreciate that, and we don't take it for granted at all. So thank you guys for sticking with us.
And thanks for the messages and all the encouragement. We really appreciate it. And until next time, she doesn't. She clearly doesn't.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.